भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमः 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Liberation of the illusory energy. Text number 30. Parasparanupatanam.
Parasparanupatanam.
Bhavanam Bhagavatyasha.
Bhavanam Bhagavatyasha.
Mito
Ratir
Vitaspushti.
Mito Ratir Vitaspushti.
Nibhuti Vitaatma.
Nibhuti Vitaatma.
Parasparaha
mutual.
Anugratanam.
Anugratanam.
Discussion.
Discussion.
Avanam.
Purifying.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
Of the Supreme.
Of the Supreme.
Yashahara.
Glory.
Glory. Mitaha.
Mitaha.
Mutual.
Rati.
Loving attraction.
Loving attraction.
Mita.
Mita.
Mutual.
Mutual.
Tushti, satisfaction. Nibriti, cessation of material pursuits. Vitaha, mutual. Akmanaha,
of the soul.
Translation. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, those who are advanced Krishna consciousness should not envy one another or quarrel among themselves. Giving up all such mundane feelings, they should gather together and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord for mutual purification. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura has pointed out that glorification of the Supreme Lord is especially potent when performed in the association of pure devotees. When devotees engage in Sankirtan, chanting the glories of the Lord together, they experience the highest transcendental bliss and satisfaction. Thus they encourage one another to give up material sense gratification, which is based on illicit sexual connections with women. One devotee will say to another, "Oh, you have given up sense gratification. Starting today, I shall also give it up." One should learn to increase one's love for the devotees, to satisfy them, and to give up sense objects unfavorable to serving Krishna. And one should learn to view the entire universe as paraphernalia for the Lord's service. By engaging the objects of the senses in Krishna's service, one automatically becomes detached from them. And as one passes one's days in association with the Lord's devotees, one's transcendental ecstasy increases more and more through discussions about the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one who wants to be free from the harassment of Maya in the form of sense gratification must certainly associate with pure devotees of the Lord who have no engagement other than chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord and carrying out his mission on earth. Srila Madhvacharya has pointed out that just as one should cultivate friendship with devotees, one must cultivate a spiritual friendship towards the demigods who manage the universe on the Lord's behalf. Thus one should live peacefully within this world. Parasparam katanam bhavanam bhagavatyasa mito ratiravitaspushti vibhuti mitaatmanaha. Translation. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop a loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense of gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So today is the appearance day of Nimbarka Chakra. So we can discuss a little bit about Nimbarka Chakra as well. So there are four Vaishnava Sampradayas. You can tell me what they are.
Nimbarka Sampradaya.
Nimbarka Sampradaya, yes.
Sri Sampradaya.
Sri Sampradaya. Well, the Nimbarka Charya test around Nimbarka Sampradaya means coming in the line from who's above Nimbarka
Charya.
Kumaras. Four Kumaras, yeah. So, and you said Sri, so who's the Charya for that one?
Ramanuja
Charya. Yeah. And so two others. So who is two others? The origins and then the Charya.
Rudra
Sampradaya with Vishnu Swami and
Brahma Gauri.
That one, yeah. Couldn't forget that one. The Brahma Sampradaya with Mother Charan. So, how to describe that Mother Charan is actually an expansion of Lord Brahma. This is described in the and it's Ramanuja Charya is an expansion of Lord Sesha. And Vishnu Swami is an expansion of Lord Vamanadeva. And Nimbarka Charya. Expansion of they're the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, and there is also the these are the in Kali Yuga, these are the Sampradayas. There is also the Sampradaya coming from Sankaracharya, so that is a non-Vaishnava Sankaracharya. Sankaracharya wrote an impersonal interpretation on Vedic literature, and anyone who hears the commentary of Sankaracharya, their spiritual life is doomed. Because as soon as one hears the commentaries by Sankaracharya, one will give up the idea that one is the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. So one immediately gives up that idea and accepts the proposition that one is equal with the Supreme Lord, one with the Supreme Lord in all respects. That is the teaching of Sankaracharya, which is completely against the actual teachings of the Vedas. It is actually completely against the teachings of all religious literatures, whether it be the Bible, the Quran, or any other teaching. But that philosophy has actually influenced the Christians and the Muslims and many religious institutions and many people who are not religious at all. And it has also influenced Hinduism. It is very, very poisonous and misleading philosophy. It is a philosophy for the atheist. Everyone has a philosophy. There's no human that really don't have some philosophy. Everyone has a philosophy. Their philosophy is either I am this material body in this material world, and there's nothing beyond that. That's their philosophy. Or one can attain liberation and become one with God. That's philosophy. Or, as the Buddhist, one can attain liberation by becoming entering into the void, becoming the void. So for all those different degrees of atheists, there are those philosophies. Atheists and fools. Some of them are not atheistic, they're just very foolish, ignorant. The Srila Prabhupada says sometimes they have countless years of brains. The Westerners might put it in a different way. But it's a fact. Srila Prabhupada was very straightforward. Unless someone he knew he could understand, someone was going to become immediately disturbed. He would generally call the fool a fool. Sometimes he would be talking to some philosophers, scientists, big, men of this, supposed big men of this world, and they would say, maybe, and then as soon as they would say that word, maybe, that means you're ignorant. As soon as you say maybe, perhaps, that means you don't know, that means you're ignorant, that means you're foolish. And if you try to pass that maybe off as knowledge, you're also a cheater. Very strong. So there are many atheistic persons. There are many people who are following religious movements which have been strongly influenced by atheistic philosophies. And because they're foolish, they don't understand that. But the four Sampradayas, these four Sampradayas, coming from Lakshmi, four Kumaras, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, with their four Acharyas, Ramanuja Acharya, Bhattacharya, Nivakacharya, and Vishnu Swami, they're actually protecting everyone in this world from these atheistic philosophies by very strongly pushing on the proper religious principles. Actually, unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot understand God. As long as people are conditioned by material consciousness, that means they cannot understand spiritual consciousness properly. And according to how they're conditioned, their mind is conditioned, to that degree they will apply a conditioned concept of the Supreme. According to the limitations, placed on their consciousness by the covering of the material energy, to that degree they will try and perceive the Supreme, that which is transcendental, and they will place their limited preconceptions covering the Absolute Truth, so they cannot see. When one becomes beyond the modes of material nature, then it is possible to actually see with transcendental vision, and then it is possible to understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even for those persons, God is so unlimited and so inconceivably wonderful that even they, although they understand what religious principles should be followed and what shouldn't be followed, still, they have just no one can understand the Supreme Lord completely, because he is unlimited and inconceivable. So in saying that, that doesn't mean that they don't know something. And there were huge amounts, the acharyas of the Sampradayas, they know, if we were to sit with them and they were to talk continually for the duration of our entire life, they would constantly fill us with wonder at the glories and the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his various energies, how they're manifesting the material and spiritual world. It's described that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati described that you could write a journal, a publication on the realizations of a pure devotee that go on from moment to moment. That is enough to fill up transcendental newspapers. So much realization. So that has so much to say. But still, that doesn't mean that you know everything, because God is unlimited. But you can know everything you need to know and more. There are many rascals, and you see this in Srila Prabhupada's conversations, that sometimes philosophers, theologians, scientists, people from the Christian religion, people from the Hindu religion, people from the Muslim religion, they would come and meet with Srila Prabhupada, and he would always ask them different questions to see what they knew and where there was a platform that they could begin a discussion. It's a very good technique, preaching technique. When you meet someone, ask them a few simple questions. Within one or two questions, you'll immediately know what you should direct your conversation. You ask them, what is the difference between matter and spirit? What is spirit? What is their conception of the Absolute and God? Within a couple of minutes, they'll reveal how much they don't know. So many times Prabhupada would ask that question to people who were, supposed to be the scholar or, vastly learned and realized in their religious tradition. And he would ask them about God, and they would say, God is cannot be expressed in words. And Prabhupada would say, well, that means you do not know. I know. So God would then say something. That cannot be expressed in words. So it's a very, you see that many, especially, you generally associate that sort of flowery word juggle with a lot of the streamlined swamis that sort of, come through from India and, pick up followers, But actually, even now, that same philosophy is there within many of the mainstream religions, like, you know, Christianity and Muslim religion. They were saved. And Prabhupada would point out, if you can't express something, then it means you don't know. If you have nothing to say, nothing to express about God, it means you don't know anything. Either you don't know, or and you don't realize, you're just misguided by some philosophy, or you don't know, but you're still trying to pass off that you have some knowledge, and therefore covering it up by the fact that, well, God cannot be expressed in these qualities like that. The Tamil Krishna used to quote that there was one person he met, and he said, God is unknowable. And he said, why is God unknowable? He said, God is unknowable because he is so great, so big, that you can never get far enough away from him to see him properly. But he was serious. But people have these conceptions that God cannot be known. Therefore, they also say that for us in the Hare Krishna movement to discuss about God, we are very misguided. Many people actually see what we're doing as Hare Krishnas, that we're extremely misguided because we're talking about God, and they feel that because we're talking about God, we have limited him and brought him down to a mundane platform. And now you see amongst the Christians and the Muslims and many others, if you ask what is the name of God, they will say the name of God should not be spoken. Or they will say God has no name. If you give God a name, that means you are speaking a material name, and therefore God has no name. As soon as you give him name, you're giving him a material world word, a material name. That's what they think. There are some of the followers of one particular guru, I think it's Chinmayananda, and they say, yes, God can have a name, but it shouldn't be spoken. But you can think about it. God's name is unknowable. But when you become spiritually advanced, that name will be revealed to you, but it shouldn't be spoken. You can meditate upon it. So all the elevated devotees, they, you know, when they approach each other, they'll say, are you thinking about God's name? Or yes, yes, yes. But see, no one knows what that name is because no one ever says it. And, you know, if you say, if I say to you, oh, are you thinking about God's name? And you say, oh, no. Oh, then you're not doing mass. So you say, oh, yes, 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 I'm thinking about God's name. But no one has to say what his name is, so they're all really advanced, but no one knows what that name is. Others, even within the, as I said, mainstream religions, they consider it a great offence to, you know, say the name of God. A great offence. And they say that God has no name. And, you know, because as soon as you give him a name, it's material. But, Srila Prabhupada would point out, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name means that God has a name, and his name is spiritual. Not that he has no name, that's material. There was one devotee who was from a Christian background, and he studied the Bible quite, you know, in depth. He says there's 12 names of God in the Bible, referring to the Father, the Creator, you know, like that, 12 different names of God. And then there's one tape where he speaks some of those different names, and Srila Prabhupada gives the Sanskrit equivalent, Shishtikata, the Creator. And yet, you know, most of them you say, if you say to the average Christian to chant the holy names, they'll tell you it shouldn't be chanted, or he has no name, or like that. And yet, within the Bible, which is there, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name, so many different names, same in the Quran, you know, there are different names there. And they should be chanted because they're spiritual. Spiritual means that those names are absolute. That when you chant the name of God, because he is absolute, then that name is non-different from him. So being absolute, when you say Krishna, Ram, Nrisimha, like that, then Krishna is there. And by that process, as it describes here also, one becomes purified. So, yet, although the name of God is completely spiritual and is non-different from the Lord, if the name of God is not delivered, or even any Vedic mantra, is not delivered through the disciplic successions, one of the four bona fide disciplic successions, then it will not act, and one will not derive the spiritual benefits from chanting that name. And in some cases, one can have adverse effects. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was discussing with John Lennon and Yoko Ono and George, and he was discussing on this point. They had actually received some mantra from, I think it was Maharishi. So that mantra wasn't going to take effect because it was coming in a non-Vaishnava. No sanctified, not coming in any sanctified, therefore it was not going to take effect. That is the Vedic instructions. So, Yoko Ono was asking that, if the name of God is spiritual, then how can something spiritual be spoiled? So Srila Prabhupada gave the example that milk is very nutritious, very wonderful, nectarian, but if it's touched by the lips of a serpent, a snake, a poisonous snake, it becomes poisonous. So in the same way, if one receives one's mantra, all of the names of the Lord, through the via medium of these mayavadis, impersonalists, rascals, who are not connected with any sampradaya, it will have a poisonous effect, have an adverse effect on one's spiritual development. It will hamper. And Yoko Ono was saying, surely something which is spiritual, cannot be, spoiled or changed, because that would make it material. If the mantra is spiritual, how can that happen? Prabhupada said, maybe your mantra is not spiritual. Maybe your mantra is material. That's the point. That you don't to derive the spiritual benefits, to actually receive Krishna's transcendental holy name, in any of his different names, has actually come down through disciplic succession. Otherwise, one may get the vowels of the alphabet, just like it is described that the Mayavadis, those are really offenders, always saying there's no such thing as a personal God, he does not exist. And they preach it very, very strongly. Because they're so offensive, This describes they cannot chant the holy name of the Lord. And even though sometimes you may hear them say Krishna, that is not Krishna's name. It's just the material syllables of the alphabet. That's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They actually, Krishna will not appear on their tongue. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually appeared, going back before that, in Bhattacharya, when he was in Navadvipa, he was meditating and he was praying to Lord Shiva for deliverance. And Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, you should take shelter of the four Kumaras who actually meditate nearby here in Navadvipa. You should take shelter of them. So he actually, in Bhattacharya, took shelter of the four Kumaras and they gave him the Radha Krishna Mana Mantra. And I think they chanted a slightly different mantra than they used to in Bhattacharya. There's something like Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Radhishna, Radhishna, something like that. I have a slightly different mantra. So, because it's perceived in the cyclic success, will have effect. But generally, the members of the other sampradayas, many of them don't even worship Krishna. These days they might worship, Sita Ram. A lot of them like to worship Sita Ram. Or they may worship Krishna, in his Damodar feature, but their understanding of Radha Krishna is by and large wrong. Because they failed to take the shoulder of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Nimbakacharya, he took shoulder of the four Kumaras and they gave him the Radha Krishna mantra, which he chanted, and Srimati Radharani and Krishna appeared to him. And then Srimati Radharani and Krishna, they united as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he saw the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is eternally Radha Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in the future he would appear in his incarnation as a Yuga avatar, and he would teach the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the Sankirtan movement, as the prime religious movement for this age, for everyone, universal. That means all human beings, no matter what faith, nationality, caste or creed they are, they all can chant according to whatever names that they're accustomed to in their scriptures. The Lord Chaitanya taught that everyone in Kali Yuga, the main religious principle is to chant the holy names. And he said he will teach that, and he will teach it, and through the chanting of the holy names, he will spread the supreme philosophy of Achincha Bheda Bheda Tattva, that everything is simultaneously and inconceivably one with and different from the Lord. So he would teach that philosophy. He said that from each of the four sampradayas he would take the essential teachings of those acharyas. And from Nimbakacharya, he said that the essential teaching that he would take was that their prime necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani, and their giving importance to the gopis' mode of life for Krishna. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and each of the four acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vibhacharya, Vishnu Swami, they had preached a particular aspect for a particular reason. Some of them, pure dualism, that we are always different from God. Others, pure pure monism, that everything is one with God. In other words, there's nothing apart from God. Not that everything is, we are all God, but everything is coming from God, in God's images. with a qualitative distinction. So anyway, there are different philosophies. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is the perfection or the culmination of all those philosophies. So he taught the Chinchabodhi, everything is simultaneously inconceivably wanted and different from it. And he taught that through the Sankirtana movement. So here you see these verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And verses within the Bible, verses within the Quran, verses within the various scriptures of the world, and all corroborate this universe, although it is only understood really by generally by the devotees of the Lord. But one should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. Actually, there are similar statements like that in all scriptures, but people don't understand that. As in, this process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their love and friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction, and thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up pure sense of gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So you see that Srila Prabhupada had firm faith in these verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, upon which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu derived that this is the essence of the religious principles, the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, and he based his Sankirtana movement upon that. Prabhupada had strong faith in that. He preached the Sankirtana movement all over the world, and we see that people who had previously engaged in fighting, you know, with one another about the differences of the colour of their skin, or the differences of their nationality, or the difference of their sex, or the difference, you know, whatever difference they would fight. In Kali Yuga, everyone wants to fight, everyone is envious. And they say, oh, you are different from me. And because you are different, you're not one of my kind, and only my kind will be getting, you know, enjoying this facility. You're of another kind, and you're not getting any of this facility. So there's always fighting. But on the spiritual platform, people chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or any of the names of God, they will quickly come to the platform to understand that they are spirit soul. And you see, that is the basic understanding of every devotee. Every devotee that starts chanting Hare Krishna, within a matter of days, they understand, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. And yet, others, philosophers and theologians and religionists, all their life trying to understand, they have no idea. They cannot derive it from their scriptures, they cannot derive it from their gurus, they cannot derive it from logic. A devotee chants Hare Krishna, within a very short time, yes, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. And coming to that spiritual platform, what does that mean? I'm eternal. I don't have to die, in a sense. Right? Isn't that something worth dancing about? You know, up until that point, you're thinking, I'm going to die. My people, I quite often get a lot of people come, you know, say, oh, I'm depressed. So many people are depressed. I say to them, you know why you're depressed? Because you're going to die. Why wouldn't you be depressed? Don't think it's anything, you know, it's not like you're strange because you're depressed. If you think you're going to die and that's it, everyone will be depressed. That's depressing. You understand your spirit soul, let's dance. Let's feast. Let's join arm in arm and celebrate every day, every moment. And we are full of knowledge, full consciousness, and fully blissful by nature. And we are the eternal, have an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual realm. One day, everyone here will be, you know, within not such a long time, we'll all be back in Godhead. They're sleeping in Srimad Bhagavatam class. We'll be dancing, we'll be feasting. And that, we won't. So, even that realization, you know, one doesn't have to have huge realizations in order to be ecstatic. Sometimes devotees think, oh, one day I'll get a glimpse of Radha Krishna and then I'll be in ecstasy and I'll have these spiritual emotions. Just understand, you know, you're not going to die, you're eternal, you're fully conscious, you're an eternal spirit soul. That is, you know, something to celebrate and dance and glorify every moment. You're wonderful. And that realization, which others cannot get, no matter what they do, we get. We chant Hare Krishna and that realization comes. Even though, you know, in my case, very unqualified. So that's something to dance and chant, feast, celebrate, out of millions, as Krishna says, out of millions of those who are endeavouring for perfection. Now how many people in this world do you see endeavouring for perfection? None, but if millions of them did, hardly a few actually become siddhis or perfect. Realise that they are spiritual by nature. And you see in the Bhagavad Gita 1854, Krishna says, one comes to the Brahma Buddha platform, that is eligible to take up devotional service, pure devotional service. So amongst, you know, millions of those, a few become perfect, and amongst, you know, thousands of those sinners, which are very, very rare to find, hardly a few become devotees of Krishna. And yet, just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we have become those extremely rare few people. So that is, again, something to sing and dance about. So, the devotees are always enjoying each other's company, sharing the different realizations, and all the realizations of the devotees is something to dance about, something to celebrate. All the realizations of the devotees. Whereas, if one is not a devotee of the Lord, you know, so much of it is very depressing. That, you know, even if there is a God, we will never know him because he's too inconceivable. Oh yes, okay, there's a God, but we will never know him. Because devotees, one day will embrace him, dance with him, sit with him. That they think they can never have a relationship with God. Oh, maybe we'll go to heaven. You know, we'll have our little part, and God will be in his part, in his inconceivable part that we'll never really know about. But all the realizations of the devotees are actually ecstatic, you know, from the very beginning. But apart from that, that is why, you see, those who don't have the realization of the devotees, even if they're generally following some process, you know, it's generally very dry and impersonal, and in many cases, you know, they become, it makes them unattractive to the spiritual world, and thinking, okay, if that's religion, if that's heaven, if that's God, let me stay here in the material world and enjoy like hell. That's what people think. There's that quite often, quite that bumper sticker that you see in the cameras. You know, good girls go to heaven, bad girls go everywhere. That's what, you know, that's what they say. that is like going to heaven is, you know, nah. They girls, they had a great time. That's what they think. You know, Prabhupada tells a story that someone says to someone, "Oh, you're drinking, taking intoxication, you go to hell." And he said, "Oh, but my father also drinks. Oh, he will go to hell. But my mother drinks. Well, she will go to hell. But everyone I know drinks. Oh, they will go to hell. Oh, hell's not so bad. We'll all go to hell. We'll all be together." But, you know, the church. Yeah. See you in hell. You hear that? We're having a great time here. You know, whatever we please. I'll see you in hell. Same So, the life of the devotee is very wonderful. Just by chanting Krishna's holy name. But that mantra, because that mantra has come through the parampara, it is very powerful. The same with the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We read Srimad Bhagavatam, we read Bhagavad Gita, and because it's coming in the parampara, it is not different from Krishna. It has the full potency. You see? When Srila Prabhupada came to the West with the Bhagavad Gita as it is, it made devotees all over the world. But others, at that point, there was something over 600 Bhagavad Gitas, many Swamis and many, so they couldn't make one devotee. Not one. The Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita as it is, because it's Krishna. That's the difference. If you take Krishna out of the Bhagavad Gita and take his teachings out of it and put your own opinion in there, it's not Krishna. You know? It's Gandhi or something. And that will not make you want to sing and dance. Probably not getting shots. So, we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we read the Bhagavad Gita, and we discuss our realizations in each other's company. We dance and chant and sing. And that is the very simple teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is what we saw Srila Prabhupada do. It is actually the same teaching that is given in the Bible and the Quran. Religion is one, except that because we are in disciplic succession, we can very easily understand, and others have great difficulty understanding that in a very, very simple way, because they do not have that connection with the disciplic succession. So, you know, we're very indebted to the Acharyas. Today, of course, is the Nimbarka Acharya. And we offer our respect to Nimbarka Acharya, Vishnu Swami, Madhva Acharya, and Ramanuja Acharya, and all those who follow in their line, the great Acharyas, because they are protecting us and giving us spiritual strength and spiritual guidance in this age of coming. So I'll leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments?
Just wanted to ask a question that whether I heard correctly there, we're honouring Nimbarka Acharya and all the other Acharyas and other Sampradayas, four main ones that are protecting us from the falls of the age and everything. But you did say, I think you said that the other Sampradayas, they're not really, they know little about Krishna today because they didn't accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, is that for start? Did you say that?
There are only four Sampradayas.
Mm.
And of those, because, apart from our Sampradaya, because many have failed to accept the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then their teachings they're becoming a bit lost. Impotent to purify themselves, and their original teachings, as I said, some of them previously worshipped Radha Krishna, now they have very little understanding of Radha Krishna. Some of them almost barely even accept Radha Krishna. They worship Sita Ram. Some worship Krishna in his... The Nimbarkacharya Sampradaya, they do... there are many Radha Krishna temples. So amongst them, in Vrindavan, and they maintain deity worship to this day of Radha Krishna. They have similar, they understand the nine processes of bhakti, they follow that as well. The ten, you know, principles of Vaishnava philosophy, dasamo the tatra. So they're very, very similar in many respects, but some of them, you know, their worship of Krishna has become practically lost.
So their focus is going to dwindle as the age gets longer because of them not having accepted Buddha or Chaitanya, basically.
Yes, if they don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one worships Radha Krishna and doesn't worship Lord Chaitanya, the aged Kali, that worship is demoniac.
It's not a very good glorification from Bhakacharya on his appearance, though, is it? To more or less put the death knell on his Sampradaya by that statement alone.
Chakrataka Swami was saying that when we were in Sydney, I think we were there and gave a lecture, he was saying that different, you know, very elevated, the leaders of these Sampradayas today, they say, what's in our teaching you are doing? We see that. We should be doing, chanting on the streets, kirtan of the holy names. They understand they're not doing it anymore. But it's like you're doing it in a big way. So, in this way, there's still some appreciation and there's still something going on. But day by day is diminishing, whereas those who are under the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're flourishing, increasing. That's the difference.
Question, Anish, you mentioned that the holy name is coming from the mouth of the Mayavadi personage that has poisonous effects, or if Krishna doesn't manifest in those letters of Krishna. So it's also said in Bhagavatam that if one jokingly or unknowingly or in any case that holy name, it has potency. And also I heard one of the lectures that if some syllables are between Kril and Shna, Krishna and Naya, then still there is some effect for chanting. So, how is it?
Srila Bhaktivinoda before in Harinam Chintamani explains that within what we call sometimes Namavas, one is there's some unintentional chanting, one's not intending to commit apparatus. So one is sort of chanting in one sense, it's the dawning or the shadow of the holy name. But then he describes that there are two divisions. One division is that which is not influenced by the Mayavadi philosophy, and whenever you see those who are chanting jokingly or unintentionally or even sometimes derisively or negligently, they're all making advancement. But those who, even though they may be doing the same thing, but they're influenced by the Mayavadi philosophy, they're not, they're creating serious impediments. So that's described in the Harinam Chintamani. So even though they both appear to be doing the same thing, what to speak of, sometimes they're even, making, sometimes actually purposely chanting the Holy Names. But still, strongly, you know, so it's not unintentional that they hurt us, which is still, you know, the benefit is not there because of that strong Mayavadi tendency.
So, he
describes it like this, just that presence. If you see, for instance, say the sun is behind a cloud, the sunlight is coming through, so you're actually seeing the sunlight, but it's a little covered. Right? So they're like those who are namabhas without the mayavadi. The mayavadi is like this. That is like when the sunlight reflects off another, say a body of water, and gives a distorted image of the sun. So therefore, it's not actually the sun, it's a distorted image of it. So that reflection of the sun is like the absolute truth being reflected off their Mayavadi philosophy. It's a distorted image of it, and that has no potency of it. The sunshine behind the cloud still has potency. It is the sun, and there's still some semblance of the actual sun. It might be behind a fog or, you know, cloud, but, you know, it's just slightly deceivable. But the sun reflected in water, which is a distorted image, that does not have the same potency as the actual sun in the sky. They're different, they appear to be the same thing. Yeah. Any next question?
You mentioned that Matajari is an expansion of Brahma.
Yes.
I heard it couple of times that it's Vayu Avesh. It's an Vayu Avesh, it's an expansion of Vayu.
Brahma. that's I'll read that as well.
Yeah.
I was saying it's that mentions that Madhvacharya is an expansion of Brahma, and he was saying that he's also heard that Madhvacharya is an expansion of Vayu, and I said that's what's that? Helena? I've heard all of them. Yeah. But that is possible. In the same way that Sanatana Goswami is actually Rati Manjari, or sometimes Ranga Manjari. So he's a gopi, but within his body, Sanat Kumara also entered. So sometimes Vaishnavas, similarly Haridas Kapoor is considered also to be an expansion of Lord Brahma. It's also described as Kalat Maharaj also entered within his body. And therefore you see that according to, there are different aspects of their pastimes where one of those personalities is more prominent in their mood than the other.
One comment. You mentioned that, you know, other sampradayas, they are now glorifying Kodiyadana.
Yes.
Like they have heard from
Ramanujan,
Sri Sampradaya leaders.
Some of them are thinking that, you know, they're watered down, you know, sort of confused philosophy is correct and what we're doing is guided. Some of them are like that. But Jagatak Maharaj was saying that, you know, because he meets the heads of all these, and to him they were quite frankly saying that, you know, you were doing. But not all the followers would have that realization because they would not have the same realization of their Acharya's teachings. They have some confused conception there, and therefore thinking that this confused conception is right and the Hare Krishna is doing something else, therefore they must be wrong. Yeah. There you go. Oh, is that the answer to that?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Sorry, awkward, I should have told that. And that's a joke.